Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
It's going to be fascinating. It's like getting the answers to the questions on a big exam, right?
Yeah.
To see what, if anything, any of this adds up to or if it's even true. Rasmussen has been reporting, he's a pollster, for the last couple of days, an all-time high in black voter approval for Trump at 40%.
Wow.
A whopping, shocking 40%. A typical black voter approval for a Republican sits around 12% normally.
That is stunning.
It's stunning if it's true.
It's encouraging.
Yeah, it is encouraging. Now, this is broken out into there's approve and disapprove, right?
Right.
This is what we see all the time on the television. This percent approves of Trump. This percent does not, right? Talking about all people. Okay. Total approve, black people, 40%. It's heavily male, too, which makes me wonder if all this anti-male rhetoric from the left in the Democrat Party is beginning to chip away at black male support.
Well, it should.
For that. It should. I know it is vile what they've done. So that's approved. Now, when you go to strongly approve, this is fascinating when you consider, okay, this is according to Rasmussen. No other pollster will cop to this right now. So, we're going to take it with a grain of salt, but it's interesting. When you go to strongly approve, now keep in mind, average Republican black voter approval, approval is 12% and has been for a long time. It'd go down to 9 like it did for Trump right after the election, like that. Strongly approve black Americans at 25% for Trump right now.
Wow.
Strongly approve. That is, for those on Common Core math, more than double the average Republican's approval rating, and that's the strong approve. So, I mean, what do black voters typically do when they vote?
Right.
And I really covered the black community when I covered Charlotte politics, and I really built some pretty tight relationships with a lot of leadership to where they would talk frankly with me off the record. And he says, listen, we vote two ways. We go to the polls when we like you. And if you're a Democrat, because I used to say, why don't you divide your votes between Democrats and Republicans? No, we're dividing our vote. How you doing that? Well, see, if we like who we go to the polls. But if we're mad at the Democrat Party, we just stay home. Yeah. It's a deliberate decision. We didn't forget to go. We decided not to.
Yeah.
And so I think at this point, I could be wrong, it'd be a stretch to think that black voters will come out and vote in higher numbers than they usually do for Republicans. The fear for Democrats is that if this 40% is true and the 25% strong approval rating, they just don't come out.
Yeah.
For the Democrats.
Which is
just as devastating.
It
would be better if they voted for Republicans. But
yeah.
I think that's a step too far for them. I think
I
this is them and Trump thing. But let's see if that's out there. Obama is hardcore on the out on the campaign trail. He's losing his voice. They've obviously brought him out to combat this. If it's going on, we'll see if he's able to have any effect.
I just hope this is something that the Republicans, and I mean particularly conservative Republicans, we'll take a look at and understand there is an opportunity here. Quit writing off the black vote in this country.
It drives me nuts.
You have a message that resonates with working Americans, and there's nothing racist about that. Blacks work, whites work, Hispanics work, Asians work, men work, women work. All of us work. And conservatism has a message for everyone, for all Americans on this. Don't forget about this. I've found it frustrating for years that Republican candidates just simply do not go and court the black vote and go to some of the places where they may not be that welcome. But that needs to happen.
And understand why they're not welcome. I learned so much. I ran the statewide campaign of the first black man to win a Republican nomination statewide since Reconstruction. His name is Vernon Robinson. Love Vernon. Still do. One of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. He graduated from West Point, and just a stellar individual. And he explained to me, he was able to close the gap in the Republican primaries by going door to door in black neighborhoods,
right,
and getting them to vote for him and not vote the straight ticket.
Right.
But one of the fascinating things he taught me, he said, listen, this is why black people hate Republicans, because I could never understand it. He said, listen, black radio is where it's at in the black community.
Yeah.
It's the water cooler they gather around. Republicans don't bother to take out ads.
Yeah.
And so all they hear are Democrat ads. Well, the Democrats know there's not going to be any pushback. So they make up wild, crazy stuff about racism. But the thing that's most hurtful, he said, is that the Republicans never even bothered to talk to us.
Yeah.
There was not even ads from them.
That's my point.
Yeah, there weren't even any ads on it. So, but you said, by the time you come out of your youth, unless you have some really unusual experiences, you hate Republicans because they couldn't even be bothered to attempt to speak to you. And I went, wow, I had no idea.
That's why somebody like a Tim Scott, and I know you've got issues with some of his votes, but that's why someone like Tim Scott is so unusual.
Yes.
You had a conservative who moved his way up through, what was it? Was it city council or county council, then to the state house, and then the House of Representatives, and then to the United States Senate, and obviously got there by appointment, but then easily won election the first time he came up for full election. And, you know, and that's the thing that... It's frustrating to me as someone who aligns themselves with the Republican Party most of the times. Minorities in the Republican Party are welcomed. If
yes.
you believe as we do, you are welcome. You are not discriminated against. You are encouraged. You are often more than happy to have positions of leadership. For years, we've had one of the top three positions in the state Republican Party has been a black gentleman from Rock Hill in the South Carolina Republican Party.
And you know what? The thing is that you are absolutely so welcome, you know, here in the Republican Party, in the conservative movement. We want to have you. We'd love to have you. I get texts all the time. Why are you spending so much time talking to and about black voters, Tara? They're not going to vote with us. Because I want you to be welcome here, because I understand, having worked with Vernon and helped to get him elected, something, you know, I'm very, very proud of having done, you know, to win the primary statewide. Anyway, he did not ultimately win the general, which was heartbreaking. But and the North Carolina was a lot more Democrat, you know, then. But mm-hmm. but you know, having understood it from that, the hurt of not hearing from Republicans at all, being completely written off, and then you show up and you say Republicans don't care about me, and we're like, what? Well, you haven't listened to black radio for your whole life. And so I want you to feel like if you're black, you know, you have a home here. We want you here. You are welcome here. And we want you to be part of our family that just loves freedom so much. That's what we love. That is our bias. And we want you to very much be, you know, a part of that. And when folks like Michael Bloomberg say, you know, we need to start by taking black people's guns first. We need to go after their guns first on the left, you know, because they're just going to kill each other. I'm like, dude, why are you voting for that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if anything, if they go in and try to take your guns, you're going to see some white people with some guns to stop that, because we know we're next. We will be with you. We will be. We will not let them do that to you. We love freedom. And, you know, you are welcome here. And, you know, I want to fix that. That was not what happened on black radio. It was not intentional. It was just Republicans going, oh, it's hopeless.
And being lazy.
Yeah, and being lazy, but also having limited campaign resources,
true.
Too.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you're the only guy who's ever been on, you know, a white guy who's ever been on black radio as a Republican with ads, are you going to get anywhere? No. You know, it's going to take a concerted effort, and particularly in off years when we need to be talking to them on black radio. Not just when it's election time and not just one guy. And that's going to take massive resources to make up for the deficit there over the years. But I get it. I understand the alienation. Once he explained to me, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, makes perfect sense to me. But that's how Democrats have gotten away with this crazy rhetoric they have. So I want to see what goes on with the black vote in this election if they don't show up, because that'll be powerful if they don't show up. Meanwhile, Lindsey Graham saying on another radio show that predicting that Attorney General Jeff Rip Van Sessions will likely resign in early 2019.
How about late 2018?
That would be, you know, better for me. That would work out much better for me. Like, as in, you know, like, how about tomorrow would be good? Tomorrow's a good time.
Exactly.
Slow
news day tomorrow, I'm sure.
Slow news day, so, Texture rates, I love Lee's passion this week. I can feel it through my radio. Hashtag red wave, hashtag MAGA. So there you go. Yep, today the nation takes a big IQ test. Let's see if we fail. Do we want prosperity? No, not that. Literally record-shattering economic opportunity. No, but Trump tweets. I don't want a job. Okay, wait, I do. Folks, okay. When the New York Times admits in writing that this quote, is the best time for the American labor market in at least 18 years and maybe closer to 50, unquote. You liberal trolls on the text line, eat your hearts out. No, it's awful. It's terrible. The suffering. What suffering? There's no suffering. More from the New York Times. Wage growth, long considered the missing ingredient to the economic expansion, has finally returned. Average hourly earnings climbed by 5 cents an hour for the month, or 83 cents year over year. That represents a 3.1% gain. The first time wages have grown more than 3% year over year. Do you remember me flipping out over the wage curve bending? Flipping and screaming and yelling and losing my mind like a maniac. I was so excited. Let me read that to you again. I'm sorry. That represents a 3.1% gain, says the New York Times. The first time wages have grown more than 3% year over year. When was the last time we saw wage growth like this? Well, the New York Times helpfully lets us know. In 1968, per capita wages and salaries grew by 6.65%. After inflation is included, and then grew by 5.4% in 1969. Yeah, pretty much stopped, particularly with massive immigration, as NPR documented. I've read you that article a million times. Since the late 60s, blue-collar wages declined by 5%. White-collar wages went up by about 20-some percent. We didn't have as much immigration affecting white-collar wages, although believe me, they're trying to make up for that in Congress, particularly if we have a Democrat Congress. New York Times added the number of adults not in the labor force, one of the real measures of employment, much better than the unemployment numbers, because those are skewed, as you know. The number of adults not in the labor force at all fell by 487,000. Again, the headline, best time for American employees in maybe 50 years. I just like to read it because it's the New York Times. And employers evidently needed to pay higher wages to coax the workers off the sidelines. It's because they had been paid virtually slave wages for a long time, as I just documented from the NPR article on the devastating effect immigration has had, particularly on blue-collar workers and particularly on black blue-collar workers. Put it together, they write, and this is the best time for American labor market in at least 18 years and maybe closer to 50. Mm-hmm. Since 1973, aside from a brief spike in the late 1990s, wage growth has remained flat. Partly because the federal government, this is Breitbart writing now, partly because the federal government helps employers by pumping hundreds of thousands of foreign workers into the labor pool each year. It's the artificial manipulation of the labor and wage market I talk about all the time. It's theft. That's what it is. It's theft. It's just organized at such a high level, and it's so neat and clean and white-collar looking. It doesn't look like theft, but it's theft. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Text or messages voted the most people I've seen at the polls ever. Okay, it'll be interesting to see end of the day what the turnout looks like in South Carolina. Could be just people voting early in the day. I don't know. I hope this is a surge. Texter writes, Tara, there's at least 250 people. What? There's at least 250 people now at my voting spot? Where are you? Texter writes, hundreds in line. This is a different texter. Hundreds in line at Riverside High to vote, voting red. So says David and Greer. Good for you, David. Texter writes, this election is a test of the media's power. It's also a test of the gullibility and ultimately the IQ of the average American voter. Texter writes, LOL, Tara, you're telling it like it is today, and I am loving it. Well, thank you. Do that every day. Texter writes, please stop, Tara, please stop spreading fake news. I love these texts. About black people's support for Trump and going to vote Republican or stay home. I will remind you tomorrow morning how dumb that sounded. You give pipe dreams. Okay. This is just a pointer to self. When you're going to text me and say that the poll by Rasmussen that I'm quoting accurately is fake news, then what you need to do is provide me with a link to show me I'm wrong. You can't just say fake news and walk off. Don't work that way. So how about you try again? It's not just fake news because you don't like it. What I said was, we'll see if Rasmussen is right. I didn't say he was right. We will know tomorrow. We'll have some idea. Texter writes, what about Fox News removing the Trump caravan ad? That was shameful. Shameful. I mean, wait. It's somehow racist, somehow, to play the audio of an illegal immigrant, sanctuary city-enhanced murderer of two cops who says he'd have killed more if he could have. Why is that wrong? I mean, it was actual video. I mean, there was nothing inaccurate about it. Well, we can't have people know that the dead murderers are actually coming over our borders. We'd rather just say Trump's a xenophobe for saying murderers are coming over our borders. And then when he hands us the video of a murderer who came over our borders and says he wanted to kill more, we pull it. I'll tell you what, folks, nothing offends the left, and there are many left at Fox News, like the truth. Texter writes, over 100 already voted in, Pauline. I got another texter writes, got to the NRE Career Center just before 7 a.m. when the polls opened, and the parking lot was slap full. Huh. I was 68, 30 minutes, door to door. Another texter writes, yeah, just voted Easley. It is packed. I asked when it's going to be interesting to see what the actual turnout here. People's perception out there is that there's a swarm going on right now. Texter writes, just left Anderson County, District 21, well over, 300 people in line, number 96 when I signed in. Now the texter writes, Fox News is finished with me. I'm now watching OAN and Newsmax. Here we go. Texter writes, I walked right up to the booth at my polling place in Simpsonville in 2016. Line is out the door this morning, looking like a big turnout this year. Texter writes, this election is not an IQ test. As I said earlier, I think it is. I said that tongue-in-cheek, you understand. Texter writes, people are mad. I can't use the word he actually used. People are mad, and that's why they're getting off their blank and voting. Probably not going to change anything. We shall see. That's what people thought in 2016, too. Texter writes, voting line at Reedville Fire Station was ridiculously long this morning. Good turnout so far. And finally, Terry just voted in the Powdersville precinct. First in line, voted 26, probably 25 to something. More people in line than usual for an off-year election. So says Phil. Another texter writes, I just voted the most people I've seen at the polls ever. You know what's funny? And I have no idea if that's what's going on or if it's people just anticipating a lot of people at the polls. They're voting early. I don't know. But I will never forget showing up to my polling place in Simpsonville on election day 2016 and getting a chill right up my spine. Because literally the line snaked through the parking lot after wrapping around the building entirely and then went down the road. You had to walk a quarter of a mile to get to the polling place. That's how many cars were in the fields. And I knew something was up. I knew something was... It just at a gut level, it gave me chills. You getting that this morning or no? I hope so, because that's what it's going to take to keep the house. All right. On the line is a guy you've heard a lot from in the advertisement section of my show, Guy Fury. He is running in the 4th District for Congress. Guy, as a independent? And I'm having you on this morning because you took issue with something I said the other day on my show. So I'm going to give you a shot at me to correct the record. Good morning.
Good morning, Tara, and happy election day. And you're right. This is a chills up your spine moment. This is what we fight for Americans. We have the right to vote, and it's a special right, something we should cherish.
Okay, a lot of people are really confused about you. I mean, I get texts all the time. Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you liberal? Are you conservative? Bobby Mack and I, and this is what I said the other day that got you so mad at me, you're emailing me. Bobby Mack and I did the debate. You were in it. Your opponent, William Timmons, did not show. And I asked you who you would caucus with. Would you caucus with the Democrats or the Republicans? And you... honestly, in my opinion, did not answer the question. Bobby Mack followed up with a repeat of the question. You didn't answer it then either. So I reminded people of that the other day on the air. That did not make you happy. And I said that I wasn't sure that we should. I don't know if trust you is too strong. I don't agree with that. But I'm sure about you. I'm not sure where you're going. And so you got upset with me. And I said, okay, come on the air and you get a response to that. So go ahead.
Well, I don't know that I was upset with you. I just want people to know who I am and what I stand for. And this is not an easy process running for public office. And sometimes my answers might be inadequate. So let me try and give you a better answer to that question. I'm a conservative. A conservative is somebody who views the world through conservative prism. I see almost every issue through that lens. I have, as we know, Republican does not necessarily equal conservative. some of the conservative things that will kind of show you a little bit about how I'm wired. I go to grassroots conservative events. I've never seen William Timmons at any one of them. I go to Dinesh D'Souza movies. I go to see Gosnell on opening night with a huge group of conservatives. And I go to CPAC. CPAC is the biggest conservative gathering of all. But I'm also an independent. And what I mean by that is I think part of the problem in our entire system is putting party over people. And so I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States, to our Constitution, and to we, the people of Greenville and Spartanburg.
Let me ask you a question.
To a political party.
Okay, and I get that, Guy Fieri. So I guess I was going to kind of answer my question. My next question would be, why not just run in the Republican primary with everybody else then, if you're a conservative?
Okay, well, I have a particular issue that I don't believe is going to be solved on party politics, and that particular issue is our health insurance and health care mess. I've been to D.C. over and over and over again. My customers beg me for help, and they need somebody to fight for them because they're frustrated paying more for health insurance than they are for their house. In those trips, I have discerned that I can't get the Democrats to agree there's a crisis. I can't get the Republicans to agree that, hey, we need to protect pre-existing conditions for people. These are things there. So in terms of being the bridge, in terms of trying to actually broker a solution, that's the reason why I'm running as an independent. I am independent, though. I don't bow down and kiss the throne of a party establishment. And I think that's a trait that's very common here in the upstate. I think a lot of people are wired that way. We have an outlook on life. Mine happens to be conservative, but in no way, shape, or form am I liberal, and I've been painted, not by you, but by others in this race, as some liberal. He must be a Democrat because he's not a Republican. Well, we often have these jerseys. You know, we wear a red jersey. We wear a blue jersey. There's this jersey in the back of the closet. It still has the tags on it. It's a red, white, and blue jersey, and the tag says "Paid for by your founding fathers."
I am way up against the break. So I feel like I've given you a chance.
Yes.
Can you answer my question?
You.
Will you caucus with the Republicans or the Democrats?
That is a natural fit, a Republican. Yes.
All right.
I mean.
Okay, because that was the question we asked you, and you have given me an answer, and that's fair. I got to run. I'm already over this segment. Guy Fieri, wishing you and everybody running today the best of luck. Coming up in just a few minutes, globalization, 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 globalization. Even Republican candidates as recently as 3 years ago, we're using it. We can't fight it. We got to be part of it. What is globalization? You got to be suspicious when nobody will define that for you. Somebody did. Somebody major on the world stage, and it is chilling. Defined what the elites think globalization is. I'll explain coming up in the next segment. It's Must Hear Radio. Let me tell you what, you are not going to want to be part of globalization as the elites understand it. Have you noticed, by the way, GOP candidates don't use that word anymore? No, they don't. You'll understand why when I tell you that somebody has finally stuck their foot out and explained. Here's what it is. Your reaction will be, oh, good God, no. Meanwhile, Nate Silver, the revered, I don't know why, because he got it wrong in 2016, pollster. I didn't get the popular vote wrong, but he did get the electoral vote, college, wrong. Nate Silver, who everybody listens to on the left, said, revised his forecast last night, saying no one should be surprised if the Democrats only pick up 19 seats and fail to take the House. Wow. Do you realize they have been marinating these Democrat voters on a blue wave since January? Do you realize it's been since January? You know what's going to be interesting? If, and I'm not predicting anything here, I can't say that enough times on the show today, but if the Democrats do not take the House, you know why it might be? Because they told them there were going to be a blue wave since January. People are like, oh, well, I don't have to get off the couch.
I mean, this blue wave story has been around for a year. And if Nate Silver at this point cannot say, says no one should be surprised if Democrats fail to win the House, and this is their main pollster, that means there's no blue wave. That means for a year they told us there was going to be a blue wave. It's going to be big, it's going to be wide, and everybody hates Trump. That's not a blue wave, folks. That don't look like a blue wave. Which means they spent a year lying to you. Of course, they spent the year before that telling us that Russia influenced our election and hacked and whatever the heck they did. They never actually specifically said, only that Russia has control of your mind. So, I mean, they make this stuff up. They make this stuff up. Well, that's been the big story this year, the blue wave. But it's not here yet. How could it be the story? Because it will come. Okay. Whatever. All right. Also coming up on the show, I got to tell you, this gets more frightening every day. The Orwellian speech control attempts. New ones by Twitter, YouTube. YouTube is owned by Google. Wait till you hear this. This stuff has got to stop, folks. And by the way, if the Democrats take the House, there is almost zero chance that we will be all but silenced by 2020 at this rate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.